Please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 136. Psalm 136. This is part of God's holy and living and life-giving word. We'll read from Psalm 136, all 26 verses. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, the king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let us pray that the Lord would give us understanding. Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide us and give us understanding to know you and your great truth and your mighty word and your steadfast love, which endures forever. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, what is the main message of Psalm 136? Well, 26 times the psalmist writes, for his steadfast love endures forever. Maybe as I was reading it, after a while, it felt like a repetition over and over and over again. Well, some preachers say, and it is true, that in the Hebrew, if you want to emphasize something, you say it twice. And if you really want to emphasize it, you say it three times. Think about Isaiah 6, where it says, holy, holy, holy. Well, I think there is a repetition here to drive the point home, for his steadfast love endures forever. Why is the psalmist doing this? What is the message of Psalm 136? Well, actually, the message is not for his steadfast love endures forever. That is what brings the message out. The message really is in the first verse and the last verse. Let me read them to you back to back. 136 verse 1 and then verse 26. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. In other words, the love of God causes us to be thankful to him. And that's really the meaning, right? They work together. I said it's not the main part, but of course it's the main part of the message. But Psalm 136 helps us to give thanks to God. And that is the point, to live a life of thankfulness to God. Now, if you've been in church before, you know that the Bible often emphasizes thankfulness to God. It's one of our main duties as mankind to give thanks for all that He has done to us. But Psalm 136 does not only tell us that we should give thanks, but it tells us why and how. Maybe you were distracted by that refrain, "For His steadfast love endures forever," and you were have a hard time of understanding the message of the psalm in between. But did you see what the psalmist was doing? It was moving from different theaters, if you will, and God's works in creation and salvation and His protection over us. And what I want to do in these short few minutes is to show you these different theaters that Psalm 136 gives us and to see how in every one of those aspects of God's care for us, we have the same refrain that God's love endures forever. In other words, we need to see God's love towards us in every part of life, not as a refrain that we just sing or we have heard of, but to see God's loving kindness towards us in every aspect of life. Well, the first way that God makes His love visible is seen in verses 4 to 9, and it's really creation. Did you notice that? Let me read it for you in verses 4 to 9. "To Him who alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters," that's Genesis 1, "for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who made the great lights," Genesis 1, "for His steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for the steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for His steadfast love endures forever." In other words, in creation, the physical world that we live in, we can see the love of God in every gift that He provides for us. The seats that you're seated on, the ground upon which the seat is standing, the earth upon which this building is planted, every step you've taken in your life was on dry ground in this world because God made a world. He filled it with everything that is necessary for life. Now, why did He do that? Psalm 136 tells us because His steadfast love endures forever. You have been seeing the love of God countless times in this past week and maybe barely even thought about it. Every time you plant your feet on the ground and you take the next step, you do so because God's love is holding up the earth and has planted your feet in such a way that you can walk and rest and feed and walk and live in this world. Every bite of food you've ever enjoyed, every sweet aroma you've ever smelled, every beautiful sight your eyes have ever enjoyed, every sunrise, every sundown that has amazed your heart was made possible by God's wonderful, steadfast love. The animals, the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, they're all the works of God's hand which He made because His love is steadfast. But not only that, the dry land upon which you walk is a gift from God. Your ability to see, to smell, to sing is a gift from God. Your ability to walk, to sit, to run, to drive, to stop, they're gifts from God. The air you breathe, your heart that is pumping blood, your digestive system that allows your body to consume energy and put that into energy so you can use it, is a gift from God's steadfast love. You have been living on God's love all the days of your life, 24/7, from your first breath into this world, and even when you were formed in your mother's womb, you have been made and created by God, who in His steadfast love has provided everything for us. In short, everything you now have is a gift from God. And so the psalmist is singing, and he's singing, and he's looking at everything around him. And at every point, he says, I cannot just keep on saying all these things. I must interject it with, "For His steadfast love endures forever. You wake up in the morning like that. You open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for a new day, for your steadfast love endures forever. You slide over, you put your feet on the ground, and you realize there is ground beneath your bed, and you say, thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love endures forever. Then you take a step and you realize your muscles are still working. Your brain is still functioning. You're going the way you want it to go. And so you lift up your hands to God and say, God, thank you for your steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 136 teaches us to see God's love in absolutely every aspect of our life. Do you see that? Do you recognize how great God's love is towards us? That even if we've never believed in God, if we've never have come to God, the sheer gifts of Him giving these things to us is a manifestation of His love. This is why Romans 1 speaks about the great sin of not giving thanks for all that He has given us in His steadfast love. Well, there's a second area in which His love is visible. This is verses 10 to 16. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for His steadfast love endures forever. That's strange, isn't it, when you look at that just like that? He struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for His steadfast love endures forever. He goes on, and brought Israel out from among them, for His steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, for His steadfast love endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His steadfast love endures forever. What's the psalmist speaking about? He's moved on from creation, hasn't he? He's moved from creation to salvation. Did you notice that? He started with Genesis 1 and the creation of the world. Now he's in Exodus. He has moved into the next book of the Old Testament, the next book of the Bible, and he is recognizing that God has delivered Israel out of their enemies that was enslaving them, out of Egypt. He led them out with a strong and mighty hand. He led them through the sea and into the promised land. And so the psalmist teaches us, we don't just thank God for creation. If we are believers in God, and He has saved us, we see His love in His salvation for us. Now, we have not been led out of Egypt, have we? You were never enslaved in Egypt. You did not went through the Red Sea to get to America. You didn't come and were freed out of slavery. God did not kill the Og, the king of Bashan, for your sake. So what about us? Do we have reason to thank God for His steadfast love and His salvation towards us? Far greater than the psalmist probably could see or imagine. Our thankfulness is not because God delivered us from a physical hand of danger. He didn't deliver us from human slavery. He delivered us from the slavery of sin. Through Christ, He has not led us through the Red Sea, a physical sea, out of a physical land. He has led us through Christ into eternal life. He led us out of eternal judgment into eternal glory. If you are a child of the living God, if you are a son of the King, if you are born again of the Spirit of God, you have a reason greater to thank God for His love than even creation itself. For God gave His only begotten Son for you. Now that is love. Who has a love like that? And so when we wake up in the morning, we don't just thank God for His wonderful care for us, for giving us a physical world in which we can live and survive. We have a greater reason to be thankful to God. We wake up in the morning and we say, God, thank you that even though I was born a sinner and in sin, my mother brought me forth. but I have come to know the King. And I've come to know God who sent his only begotten Son to die for me so that I might have life in him. That I now might say I've not only been born into this world, I've been born into the eternal kingdom of God. I have a reason to sing. And my heart is awakened to my King and the one whom my soul loves. I ran the other way, but God brought me back. Even though I refused, he changed my heart and made me follow my God. Beloved, we have a reason to say in between every sentence, for his steadfast love endures forever. And oh, that we would do that more often. Did you hear the songs that have been sung so far? A lot of thankfulness, isn't it? You know why? When Christians begin to ponder of what we should sing to our great God, and we stop for a moment, what happens is that our heart begins to see what reasons we have to be thankful to him. And so many of our hymns, if you look through history, are thankfulness. Think about the most famous one, Amazing Grace. It's a hymn of thankfulness. Most of the hymns tonight, even though there are realities of the pain and suffering that we are going through, they end in thankfulness. Because we have countless reason to be thankful. For God has taken us out of darkness and placed us into his marvelous light. Brother and sister, if you ponder your life, and you, like so many of us, frequently do, you look at your life and you think, this is where I should be, and this is where I am. This is how I should live, and this is where I am living. And you hear this sermon and you say, I know I should be more thankful. And even that brings you into guilt. Because now you feel your lack in not being thankful. Just stop. Just rest. And simply be thankful to God. If you have been born again by the Spirit of God, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, thankfulness is the number one response. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You have great reason to rejoice and be thankful to God. You don't save yourself. He has saved you. So rejoice. Be thankful. Before you look at yourself, look to Christ. And let your lips overflow with thankfulness because he has saved us. Now, if you say to yourself, well, if I'm honest, I don't know if God has saved me. I never knew that God was in the saving work. Does he save? How does he save? Well, this is what he saves people from. He saves us from our sin. Well, you say, how much sin? Because I have a lot of sin. I have sinned so much that God cannot possibly love me so much and forgive me for that sin. I've run the opposite way. Well, let me tell you one verse, one truth in the New Testament. You know why Jesus came into this world? He came into this world to save sinners. And so if you sit here tonight or you listen through the radio broadcast or watch over the YouTube live stream, remember this. The only requirement that is necessary for God to save you is that you are a sinner. For only sinners can be saved from their sin. Not small sinners or great sinners, sinners. And so the question is, if you haven't been saved, is it because you don't have sin or because you haven't never realized that God has come to save sinners? Here's an amazing truth. If you have rebelled against God all your life, it means that you're a sinner. And God has sent his Son for you. And so what you must do, what God calls you to do, is call upon the name of the Lord, and you will sing with us and give great thanks to God, for he saves sinners. Now, there's one more theme. And I think this is, if we come from creation, then to salvation, now comes the next step, and it's verses 17 to 25. Again, it begins strange. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. How is God striking down kings a reason to say God's love endures forever? For this reason, these were the kings that sought to destroy Israel. Here they are. And killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Verse 19, Sihon, king of the Amorites, sought to destroy Israel, but God's steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. Has God struck down any king for his church? Well, not a real king, but a usurper. He's written right down there in Genesis chapter 3. You remember when he spoke to Adam and Eve? And he said, God, what God told you, Eve, was wrong. Rather, you must listen to me. I have all the best for you. What did the serpent do? He led them into shame and death. And ever since that time, this usurping king, Satan himself, has sought to destroy all of mankind. But what does it say right there in Genesis 3 when God speaks to the serpent? Your head will be crushed by the seed of the woman. Who is that seed? It's Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ came to crush the head of this evil usurper, our enemy. And so even though the psalmist could sing the king of Bashan, that evil king of the Amorite that sought to destroy Israel, that was a great display of God's love. His love is even greater on display in the gospel of Jesus Christ. For how did he destroy the power of Satan? By his own death upon the cross and by the resurrection out of that death. And so we can say that our King has destroyed Satan himself, for his love endures forever. How about the next one? And gave their land as a heritage, for his love endures forever. That's the shadow. God says in his word, look at Revelation and read through it, and you will see that all those who come to Christ will receive a new heavens and a new earth. For his love endures forever. And he goes on, a heritage to Israel, his servant. We read in the book of Ephesians that we have been given an eternal heritage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He has given us an eternal heritage in Christ because we are fellow heirs with Christ. In other words, that which belongs to Christ belongs to his people. For his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our lowest state, when you were broken in sin. For his steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes. For his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, and may I interpret that in the New Testament, he who gives spiritual food to all his children, for his steadfast love endures forever. In other words, beloved, this third area is his deep and abiding care for his people throughout their lives. God has said, if you come to me, I will give you eternal life. Not one day I will give you eternal life. I will give you eternal life the moment you call upon his name. Which means he is with us. In the book of John, Jesus says that as soon as a person comes to him, he and his Father will make a home in the heart of the believer. For his steadfast love endures forever. For us, if we go out into the ends of the world to share the gospel to all the nations, Christ said, I will be with you all the days of your life into eternity. For his steadfast love endures forever. In other words, beloved, what we can do is we can take this sentence and copy it between every verse in the New Testament. John the Baptist was given, for his steadfast love endures forever. Every day we could put at the end of our day, for his steadfast love endures forever. Brothers, he has given you a voice to sing, for his steadfast love endures forever. Brothers and sisters here, he has brought you here tonight, for his steadfast love endures forever. He's given you a body and a song to sing praises to God, for his steadfast love endures forever. Beloved, God has given us everything in this life, both for our physical body, for our spirit to live forever with him, and a promise that he will be with us into all eternity, for his steadfast love endures forever. Therefore, we give thanks to him. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for your steadfast love endures forever. Help us, Lord, to praise you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And help us, Lord, as we continue to worship you, help us to worship you in spirit and truth, for your steadfast love endures forever. Pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.